message is dedicated to my dear friend and brother in Christ, Z.B. Haji. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll start at verse 1, and read the first 5 verses. I'm reading from the 1901. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye measure, it shall be measured unto you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me cast out the mote out of thine eye, and lo, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Let us speak of God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that the one whom thou didst send from heaven spoke words that were not pleasant to the ears of some, but were so necessary and effectual if they hearkened to their content. And thou dost know that this morning the words are for us as well as for them, and we pray that this good medicine that thy Son prescribed shall be taken by us, and what spiritual sickness that controls us shall be cured. Who can accomplish this in the power of the flesh? And yet, thy word is powerful, and thy spirit is powerful. So by thy spirit, work upon the lips of him who speaks, in the hearts of those who hear, and let something of lasting value be accomplished this morning. Thou knowest our sins. Thou hast promised that if we confess them, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive them, and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins. And so, committing ourselves into thy hands, we look to thee for good this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. In some circles, I am known as an expert in performing minor operations for children. If they have a thorn in their finger, they will come to me and say, Uncle John, can you get this thorn out? Well, of course I can. Or they'll come to me and say, Uncle John, this tooth seems to be loose. I've heard that you're a painless dentist. Can you get this tooth out? Let me see. Is this the tooth you're talking about? Uncle John, yes, now go put it under your pillow. Or it may be that some dust is blown in their eye and they'll come and say, my eye is hurting. Can you get that dust out? Of course I can. And so for some reason, little children have come to me and asked to perform these operations on them. But in all my lifetime, I've never had any Christian come and say to me, look, there are spiritual imperfections in my life. Will you get them out for me? Would you come to me and ask that? I mean, in sincerity. Many people come, and they're not sincere. It's like Judas Iscariot. One of you is going to betray me. Is it I, Lord? But who is there among the people of God that have imperfections and want somebody to remove those imperfections from their lives? I'm afraid that most of us are oblivious to our imperfections. And if someone wants to remove them, then we will resist as much as most children resist taking thorns out or taking out loose teeth. Christians are the same way in getting rid of sin in their lives. Well, this is the portion our Lord is emphasizing in Matthew And he doesn't speak it once, he speaks it twice. So important is it that on two different occasions, our Lord speaks about mote and beam, and he tells us, and this is the title of the message, how to remove a mote from your brother's eye, the way Christ tells us to remove that mote. And he prefaces it with these words. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. Do you understand that this verse of scripture is the best known verse by worldly sinners? If you go to them and you're going to say anything about what they're doing wrong, they say, the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. Remarkable. They know that one as well as Christians know, for God so loved the world. Somehow, they know that verse. And they use it as a hiding place to escape any criticism for what they're doing. But, let me tell you, the verse doesn't mean not to judge. This is what the verse means. Look at it in the original, and this is what it says according to its construction. It can mean two things. It means, let not the general conduct of your life be one of habitual criticism of others. Is that familiar to you? The Lord Jesus is speaking to a religious nation, and I have found that what is so disagreeable among evangelical Christians is this very thing our Lord speaks about in Matthew chapter 7. Do you realize that spirit is in your heart? What child of God is there that is long-suffering, is tolerant, that will turn aside rather than criticize others with whom he is associated? Is that you? If so, come. I want to be your friend. Most evangelicals I know are constantly looking for most in other people. I say most evangelicals. And if you say, I'm not one, congratulations. But most of us are. It's unconscious. But most of us have a critical spirit. I think of this. Our Savior goes to a synagogue, and the people are watching him. Watching him. You see? It's just like when a preacher comes. You will listen to what he says. Not because you want your soul blessed. You want to hear if he says anything wrong. If he gives the correct reference when he's quoting something from the Bible. That's a terrible attitude to be in. To be an habitual, critical, censorious person who is constantly watching others to find something wrong with them. And do you know the ones who are usually best and most guilty of doing that? The ones who have beams in their eyes. So you keep this in mind and you take it to heart, because very few people are going to come and tell you the truth the way that I'm going to tell you this morning. But the Savior says twice, and I'm told to preach the word, and you invited me to preach the word, and I'm going to preach the word. Now, it can mean the first illustration I gave, or it can mean this. You are in the habit of criticizing others. Now, stop it. You see, it doesn't mean not to judge. It has absolutely no connotation of never judge anybody for anything. For this reason, it says here that if you judge the wrong way that the Lord is talking about, you're going to be judged. Beware lest you be judged. But you realize that the Bible also says that if you do not judge, you're going to be judged. You say, how is that? Why, in Ezekiel, here is a person who is guilty. And God says, if you do not tell that man that he's guilty, you have to judge him and see his wrong. God says, I'm going to hold you responsible for not telling him of his guilt. You say, well, then I am to look at some things and tell people about them? Yes. If you do not judge the right way, God is going to judge you for not judging. But at the same time, if you judge the wrong way, beware lest you be judged. You say, well, then, the Christian life is one that takes a lot of thought. Why, of course it does. There are times to criticize and to judge, and there are times to remain silent. And the Lord is telling us here about times not to judge. He's telling us not that we are never to judge, but He is telling us the conditions under which we are to judge. And He tells us how to remove a mote from the brother's eye. Let me tell you, the fault of those who read a passage like this, they read it and they say, judge not that you be not judged. And then they say, yes, and so many of us have beams in our eyes, well, we can't judge at all. And so we read this passage and what we are to do is just not to be judging. We are just to be tolerant. We are to be long-suffering. We are to put up with sin. That is not what the Lord says. And here is another thing that people have overlooked, and I'm going to give you two or three illustrations. The Lord is telling you to judge here. You understand? He is telling you to judge, to remove mote from the eyes of your brother. Listen. He says, first, get the beam out of your own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to remove the mote out of thy brother's eye. Did he tell you not to remove it? You say, he told me to remove it, but only after I see clearly. Why, of course. If you talk about adultery, the Lord Jesus said, let him that is without sin among you first cast a stone. Now, do you hear what Jesus said? Yes, I heard what he said. He said, cast the stone. He said, but you have to be without sin. You understand? You say, he did say to cast the stone. Why, of course he did. He never said to tolerate adultery. He never said to tolerate mote. What we do is superficially read it and we get the first impression and do not complete that impression. It's like those that say, the Bible tells us that if we come to the Lord's Supper with unjudged sin, why, we'll bring judgment upon ourselves. I'm afraid to go to the Lord's Supper. That's not what it says. It says, yes, if you come with unjudged sin, you are apt to be judged. But it doesn't tell you to stay away. It says, examine yourself and clear your life up and then come and remember the Lord. It doesn't say because there is sin in your life, stay away. It tells you to get rid of that sin. And it doesn't tell you to stop looking at specks and mote in my eye and never take them out. It tells you to get rid of the beam in your own eye, and then you'll see clearly how to get the mote out of my eye. Do you understand? It tells you over and over again to do even the most minute thing that will rid the children of God from sin. Listen to what it says. The Lord says concerning hypocrites in Matthew 23, He says, you tithe mint and anise and cumin and leave undone the weightier matters of the law. And He speaks of love and mercy and justice. And so you say, I see. Here are these people going about tithing mint, anise, and cumin. What they need to do is to emphasize the weightier matters of the law. But He says, this you should have done, and not to have left the others undone. God expects you to tithe mint and anise and cumin, not to hold back one whit from the Lord. But He says, while you are doing the most minute thing, do not overlook the great things. But what we do is to say, forget the latter part, but the Lord is emphasizing both. And for that reason, then I can go through life with small imperfections, because judge not that you be not judged. You have a log in your eye, and therefore, you see, that's false reasoning. Put up with adultery, because the Lord says that him that is without sin among you first cast the stone at her. He said to cast the stone. Why, God says, emphasize love and justice and mercy. But God says, in addition to that, tithe, mint, and anise, and cumin. Tell me, do you consistently and faithfully give of your substance to God? I know some Christians who think nothing about it. God is holding them responsible for mint and anise and cumin. Tiny herbs. Yes, that is how meticulous we should be about giving God what He deserves under Old Testament principles and under New Testament principles. God is looking upon us and He knows the condition of the heart. And so let us not say because God is a cheerful giver and I can't give cheerfully, I'm not going to give. He expects you to get your heart in such a condition that you are cheerful and you can give. But most of the time, we read the first part of the teachings of the Lord and do not think it through and go on the assumption that the first part does not include the second part. But you must take them both together. And so what it's telling us is this. It's telling us, let not our general conduct of life be one of constant criticism. For this reason, this is the danger. You know how you're going to be judged in this world and how you're going to be dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ? Not the same way I am. You're going to be judged according to the severity with which you judge. You understand that? You are going to be judged to the same degree of severity with which you love. It says, judge. It says, for with what measure you measure, it shall be measured unto you. And with what measure you judge, you are going to be judged. And so, beware. You look at the mote in my eyes. That's fine. But then God is going to look at every mote that is in your eye. Remember. And so come and look at my mote. That's fine. It's all right. But if you do, God says, that is the way I'm going to look at you. And at the same time, if you think I should be dealt with for some small imperfections in my life, that's fine. God is going to say, well, I'm going to deal with you in your life for the same small imperfection. Now, do you want to look at the mote in my eye, or do you rather close your eyes? Why, of course. And God tells us about that. It says in several portions of Scripture, I will give you one. It says, do not always hear all the words that are spoken, because you know yourself that many times you have done the same thing. If you listen to all words, you will hear your servant curse you. But at times when you hear things, it says, don't listen to all those words, lest you hear your servant curse you. And it says, because you know in your own heart that at times you've done the same thing. You say, I'm so glad that somebody overlooked that rash statement I made. You've heard people say, I didn't hear that. Thank God for such people. But some people hear every word. There were those that were listening to our Savior preach. They were trying to lay hold on His words, but they could not lay hold on His words. But when you speak, and I hear people preach all the time, and they're constantly saying wrong things. I'm not criticizing. I take it as a whole. I understand the degree of training. I understand the sincerity of their heart, and I accept it separately. And in like manner, the other things that are adverse, that are quickly spoken, there are times that you can, the Bible says, do not hear every word that's spoken. At times, you may disregard those words. Why, King Saul, that carnal king in the Old Testament, there were those at the first, before he became established, who said, this man, what can he do for us? But it said that King Saul ignored their words. He held his peace. And in like manner, if there are criticisms at times, you do not have to take them to heart. You can hold your peace. You cannot hear all the words. And this is what the Savior is talking about. But there are those, if you have one misplaced word, they will leap upon that word. If there is a tiny imperfection in your life, they will leap upon that. And I do not blame the world for not wanting to be around evangelical Christians. Why? Because I have seen that spirit. They are watching. They are ready to criticize all others. Like the disciples, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that this one was born blind? It may be that neither sinned. There is that spirit that we are looking upon people, judging. And that's what the Lord means. Let not the general conduct of your life be one of constant criticism, whereas there are imperfections in your life. You see? It doesn't mean that we have to tolerate sin, but there is this attitude among evangelicals, and, oh God, deliver me and you from it. There is to be such a thing as one who the Savior on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I remember that Stephen also prayed a similar prayer as he was being stoned. That God might put such a heart in me as that, rather than looking for all the motes in your eyes. And I'm sure that I could find, I don't even have to look in your eyes for motes. I could find large things. But there are ways, the Savior says, you have to go about taking out motes from your brother's eyes. All right. I've tried to break this down and make it mean something other than it means, but you cannot do it. It is what is called an hyperbole. And if the Savior had done it once, but he does it again and again and again, because you look up and you'll find that this mote is something like a speck of sawdust flying in your eye. But the beam, and what is misleading is this, he has a beam in his eye. You could think it's something, a smile or a light issuing from your eye, but it's really a raster. It's a large log, a large piece of lumber. And the Lord says, a tiny speck and a large piece of lumber, a raster, a log. You say, that's strange. That doesn't make any sense. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard a Savior say about those that strain at gnats and swallow camels? You say, well, that's right, a gnat and a camel. And have you ever heard a Savior speak about a camel going through the eye of a needle, and it means the needle with which you sew? You say, that's hyperbole. And our Savior does it again and again and again. And so what it means is this. A mote is something ever so small, and a beam is something ever so large. And it breaks down to this, that you have some small imperfection in your life, but it's visible. You see, it's in the eye. If I have a rash, then my clothes cover it. But if there is even a speck in my eye, then you can see it. But there is also a beam in the eye of others. And the Savior is talking about those with huge imperfections in their lives going around wanting to remove motes, small imperfections from the lives of others. And when a person wants to do that, the Savior uses one descriptive word, you hypocrite, because there is something wrong with a person who has a defect that is as large as a log for truth. And he wants to go around and remove motes, tiny specks of sawdust from the eyes of his brothers and sisters in Christ. Can't you see something wrong? You say, yes. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It should be that you love me so much that you will say to me, as the Savior said to that rich young ruler, the rich young ruler said, what lack I yet? And it said, Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. He said, one thing you lack. If you would be perfect, that would be fine. If you would approach me that way, loving me and wanting me to be perfect, seeing all the good things that I've done, and what makes that tiny mote so significant is because of the other things that I have done, and if you love me, I would embrace you. You understand? But those are the people that go around wanting to remove motes. The ones that want to remove motes are those that have logs protruding out of their eyes. And the Lord said, this is not going to be. He says, yes, you can remove motes. He says, but if you do, you have to first take out the beam that is in your own eye, and then you can see clearly how to remove the mote that is in your brother's eye. And so think of that. The great sin in your life and the little sin that's in mine, or the great sin that's in my life and the little sin that's in yours, and I'm coming to get the mote out of your eye, or you are coming to get the most out of my eye. So strange. Let me give you an example. I tried to speak at the oracles of God, and in the Queen meeting, between the remembrance meeting and the ministry meeting, I go and I study constantly the last minute. And one brother wrote a letter and said, it would be so much better if you did not go in between meetings, but stayed and talked to the people. You see? And so, for his sake, I did it. Not without giving him this illustration. I said, you love sports. I said, tell me, if you have a man that's going to pitch the game, Would you want it to be in the bullpen practicing, or would you just want it to sit around and talk with the others and then go out cold and start pitching? Why, of course, I see. But I understand it's the oracles of God, but with no preparation, just go and have happy fellowship and chit and chat and then get up here and try to tell you all of these things, you see. Now, that wasn't so bad. I said, all right, I can have that mote removed from my eye. And so, I come, and he is there. But then that night, he's not at the meeting, you see. I am not the lead between meetings, but it's all right for him to miss meetings. You see the difference? You say, well, of course it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He did that. But it says nothing about preparing God's words when there's no meeting going on. You say, no. But he wanted to get that mote out of my eye. And what if I went and said, brother, do you know that you are forsaking the assembling of ourselves? Yes. You understand? And so that is what I mean. Those that will see tiny faults in others, and yet they are oblivious to the gross sins that are in their lives. And the Lord says, thou hypocrite. All right. How quickly to remove a mote from your brother's eye? First of all, it says, get the beam out of your eye, and then you shall see clearly. And I promise you this, if you have been a critic who has had gross sins in your life, and then you get rid of those sins and you come to me, you know what you'll say to me? You'll say, brother, I'm so ashamed. I was talking about the mote in your eye, and this sin was in my life. Oh, brother, forgive. I've gotten rid of that sin. I don't even want to talk about that mote. You know what I would say? I would say, dear brother, if you've been successful in getting rid of that beam in your eye, I can get rid of this mote that is in my eye. Thank you for telling me. Do you understand? And so, that's how to remove a mote from your brother's eye. And I could tell you more, but the time is gone, and you're not going to get me for that mote. Let us pray. Now, Father, we give you thanks for all the instructions that your Son gives us. Indeed, they reveal to us our hypocrisy, our shortcomings, our failures, but we are thankful. Nothing at the present is joyous but grievous, but if we exercise, it shall yield peaceable fruit. So let us be exercised. Indeed, let us not be happy until every mote is out of every brother's eye, but Lord, let us go with eyes that are clear before we seek to take mote out of our brother's eye. Bless us, and let us be children of God with the wisdom and the mind of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Meeting is over.